one of prophetic books in the Old Testament, Nahum. Nahum. We pronounce in Korean, Nahum, Nahum, Nahum. Just follow Hebrew. Hebrew was Nahum. Nahum. Okay, let us read Nahum chapter 1, whole verses. Okay, let me read alternatively. Chapter 1 and key verses, chapter 3, verse 5, 6, 7. Okay. Nahum chapter 1, verse 1. An oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Whatever they plot against the Lord, he will bring to an end. Trouble will not come a second time. From you, O Nineveh, as one comforts who plots evil against the Lord and counsels wickedness. Now I will break their yoke from your neck and tear their shackles away. The Lord has given command concerning you, and look, there on the mountains, the feet of the one who brings good news, who proclaims peace, celebrate your festivals, O Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will be completely destroyed. Chapter 3, verse 5, 6, 7, let us read together. There you go. I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. All who see you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is in ruins. Who will mourn for her? Where can I find anyone to comfort you? Amen. Let God bless all of us with his words. Today we are to study Nahum, the main theme of Nahum is the prophecy of the destruction of Nahum, that is the judgments of Nineveh. The prophecy of the destruction of Nineveh, that is the judgments of Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria at the time. It means Nineveh represents Assyria. So in this short book, we can see the same word Nineveh or Assyria eight times repeated. Shall we see quickly? Let me show you. So in this book, Nineveh and Assyria, same word. We can see eight times this word, Nineveh seven times, and finally Assyria. Okay, let me show you. Chapter 1, verse 1. You can see in your Bible together. Chapter 1, verse 1. An oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum Elkoshite. And chapter 1, verse 8. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into darkness. And chapter 1, verse 11, again, chapter 1, verse 11. From you, O Nineveh, as one come first who plots evil against the laws and the counsels, wickedness. And chapter 1, verse 14. The Lord has given a command concerning you, Nineveh. Okay. And chapter 2, verse 1. An attacker advances against you, Nineveh. Guard the fortress, watch the roads, brace yourselves, marshal all your strength. And chapter 2, verse 8, again, chapter 2, verse 8. Nineveh is like a pool, and its water is draining away. Stop, stop. They cry, but no one turns back. And chapter 3, verse 7. All who see you will flee from you and say, what? Nineveh, Nineveh. Nineveh is in ruins. Who will mourn for her? Where can I find anyone who to comfort you? Okay. Finally, chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. O king of Assyria, your shepherds slumber, your nobles lie down to rest. Your people are scattered on the mountains with no one to gather them. So in this book, Nineveh or Assyria repeated eight times. So let me say one more time. The topic, the theme of this book, Nahum, is the judgments of Nineveh. Means judgments of Assyria. In secular history, the Assyrians were cruel and aggressive people who became one of the dominant nations of the ancient world from about 1300 to 600 BC. Then through this long period, they often attacked and fought against the Hebrew people. The Assyrians were notorious, badly famous for the brutality of their treatments of other nations. So the ultimate outrage happens especially in the 8th century BC when thousands of residents from the northern kingdom of Israel were carried to Assyria as captives and resettled in pagan territory, pagan nations. The Assyrian Empire develops between the Tigris we heard in history study. This empire, Assyrian Empire, develops between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in a place known today, Upper Mesopotamia. Then Assyria was the most powerful nation of the ancient world about for 200 years, about from 850 to 650 BC, during for 200 years, this empire, Assyria, was the most powerful nation. Then we still remember the story of Jonah. Do you remember? We started the book Jonah the other last Sunday. Two weeks ago, we started Jonah. Yes. In a sense, we can say this book, Nahum, is a sequel story of the book of Jonah, considering handling the same issue, the same problem of the same country, Nineveh, Assyria. Two weeks ago, in our study of Jonah, we still remember, in the book of Jonah, God calls Jonah, prophet, missionary, go to Jonah and preach the message I give you. Then, at first time, Jonah disobeyed. Then, second time, through supernatural experience, he obeyed God, and he went to Nineveh and preached just one strong sentence sermon. Do you remember? After 40 days, this city, Nineveh, will be destroyed, overthrown. Then at his preaching, immediately, all the people of Nineveh repented, fasting in sackcloth. So God did not send judgments. God did not send destruction on Nineveh. So all the people of Nineveh at the time were saved, delivered, spared from the wrath of God. Then this event happens about 760 BC. Then this revival in the book of Jonah was very short-lived. Not long after that, this country, Assyria, reverted again to their total extreme wickedness, idol worship, and sinfulness, brutality, cruelty. Then, in history between Assyria and Israel, we know Assyria attacked the northern kingdom of Israel and destroyed completely the northern kingdom of Israel. When? 722 to 721. And then, again, they tried, after destroying northern kingdom of Israel, they tried to destroy even southern kingdom of Judah. They attacked southern kingdom of Judah about in 700 BC. Then at the time, the king of southern kingdom of Judah was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was very faithful, sincere, devout king before God. Second Kings chapter 18, verse 5 says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. There was no one like him among the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. So Hezekiah, at the time, Hezekiah prayed honestly to God for help. So that night, the angel of the Lord went out and killed, at that night, 185,000 Assyrian armies, soldiers. So this story is written 2 Kings chapter 19, and again in Isaiah chapter 37, this story is written. Then, after 100 years from this story of Jonah, 100 years after, they became again proud, arrogant, sinful, brutal to neighbor countries. So 100 years later, this book, Nahum, was written to warn them coming judgments, coming penalty, coming wrath from God. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, an oracle means prophecy and revelation, an oracle concerning Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Okay, the prophet Nahum, his name Nahum means comforts, just comforts or a consolation. Actually, his name Nahum is a shortened form of Nehemiah. We know the prophet Nehemiah, Nehemiah, priest and prophet Nehemiah. His name Nahum is a shortened form of Nehemiah. Nehemiah means comforts of the Lord or a consolation of the Lord. Then Nahum means just comforts or a consolation. His name, Nahum, appears only one time in the whole Bible, here in his book, chapter 1, verse 1 of his book, Nahum. And he is from Elkosh. Then the location of Elkosh is uncertain, unknown. And usually, most conservative scholars believe Elkosh is a small city in the southern kingdom of Judah between Jerusalem and Gaza. Then what is the time of this book? When did this prophet Nahum write this book? Can you guess? In this book, there is no mention of a king. No mention of king, but there is a mention of the destruction of Egypt. Shall we see? Chapter 3, verse 8, 9, is the mention of destruction of Egypt. So in this book, the destruction of Egypt is written as already passed, which happens in 663 BC. Okay, remember, in secular history, Egypt was destroyed in 663. Then that event was written in this book as already past events. Chapter 3, verse 8 says, are you better? Who is I in this sentence? Nineveh, Assyria. Chapter 3, verse 8, are you better than Thebes? Yes. What is Thebes? Thebes was the capital city of Egypt at this time. Are you better than Thebes? Situated on the Nile, we know Nile River, with walls around her. The river was her defense, the waters her wall. Verse 9, Cush and Egypt were her boundless strength. Put and the Libya were among her allies. Verse 10 says, yet she was taken captive and went into exile. Her infants were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. Lots were cast for her nobles, and all her great men were put in chariots, chains. From verse 8 to 10, it means just as Assyria destroyed Egypt, so Assyria will be destroyed. Then in this book, the destruction of Assyria is seen as a future event. Assyria destruction happens in 612 BC. By what country? Babylonia, yes. So from this story, we can know that this book was written between after 663 and before 612. You got it? Sorry. Anyway, Nahum, this book is a very short book. This book has only three chapters. Then in each of three chapters, Nahum prophesies the destruction and judgments of Nineveh, Assyria. Shall we see each chapter briefly? Yeah, chapter 1. Chapter 1 is the destruction of Nineveh is decreed. In chapter 1, Nahum begins with a very clear description of character of God. We can see God's character, God's attributes. You know, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, the Lord is a jealousy and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance. You know, do you like vengeance? Revenging. And God is filled with wrath. Can you imagine? We praise God all the time, saying, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Then in verse says, our God is filled with wrath. Wrath means anger, holy anger. But still, God is good. Amen. God is good. Verse 7 says, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. A refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Verse 3 says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. God is kind, but also he is very stern. He is holy, he is just, he is righteous. Yes, God is gracious, God is merciful, God is compassionate. But he never leave the guilty unpunished. So Nineveh will be destroyed because of its sin. This is the message of chapter 1. And chapter 2 is the destruction of Nineveh is described again. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, an attacker advances against you, Nineveh. Guard the fortress, watch the Lord. Brace yourselves, marshal all your strengths. Verse 2, the Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob. J Jacob means Judah, like the splendor of Israel. In chapter 2, Nineveh, Assyria will be destroyed, but Judah will be restored, recovered. This is the message of chapter 2. And chapter 3 is the destruction of Nineveh is deserved. In this last chapter, Nahum finished his sermon, his oracle with God's reasons, God's purposes for coming destruction of Nineveh. In this chapter, first from verse 1 to 7, Nineveh is characterized by cruelty and sinfulness, brutality, and idol worship. That is their character at the time. And finally, from verse from 11 to 18, at the time, the city Nineveh was fortified so well that defeat seems impossible. But God declares that its destruction was inevitable. No of his resources can hinder, deter divine judgments, divine wrath. Yes, from this terrible story of judgments and destruction, what lesson can we get? Yes, we saw already in verse 2, God is jealous God. God is a jealous God. We must be clear in knowing the attributes and character qualities of God. God has all the time two sides of one coin. Yes, we know God is good, gracious, merciful, compassionate, pitiful, loving kindness, but at the same time, God is jealousy, avenging, God of vengeance. God of wrath. Still today, same, this situation. Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God is revealing from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, by their unrighteousness, by their sinfulness. Also, Ephesians 2:3 says, still, we were by nature, including you and me, we were by nature the objects of wrath, objects of wrath. Then how can we escape from the wrath of God? How can we prepare to be saved from this coming wrath of God? How can we prepare for the coming judgments? Every Sunday in our confession of faith apostolic creed, at the last pass we confess our Lord Jesus comes to us to judge the living and the dead. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as man is destined to die. How many times do you die physically? Once. Just as a man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgments. Yes, including you and me, we are to die just one time and to meet judgments, standing face to face our Lord Jesus Christ. Among us, there are some students, my dear students. Do you like examination? Do you like examination day? Yes, we have many examinations as long as we are students. Midterm exam, final exam, graduation exam, entrance exam. As long as you are student, you cannot escape examination, exams. Do you like examination? Another question. Is examination blessing or a punishment? Blessing or a penalty? Both can be. Either or. Yes, to those who work hard and prepare fully well, exam can be a blessing as opportunity of progress, honor, rewards, maybe scholarship, success, passing, getting good reports. But to those not prepared, exam can be penalty as an opportunity to be shameful, and low records, failing, dishonor, and loss of something valuable. Judgments is like that. Please remember, judgments is to men what exam is to our students. The word of God is to our spirit what food is to our stomach, to our body. Like this, judgment is to all human beings what exam is to our students. That's why the Bible says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgments. How can we prepare to miss these judgments? Same judgment, but these same judgments can be reward to somebody. Also, these same judgments can be condemnation, penalty, punishments, even hell, the lake of fire, the lake of burning sulfur to somebody. Then how can we prepare these coming judgments? There's only one way, Bible says, there's only one way to prepare the judgments, to be saved from the coming wrath of God, from penalty, from condemnation, from hell, burning sulfur of a lake. That is to believe Jesus Christ, believe in Jesus Christ as a Savior, Savior and Lord. Please remember, we all the time say this sentence in one sentence, but this is a little different meaning. We must believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and we must accept him as our personal Lord. All the time accepting Jesus as personal Savior and accepting him as my personal Lord go together. What does it mean? Accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior means recognizing, confessing I'm a sinner and confessing Jesus died for my sin and his Saviorship. Also, accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord means recognizing his Lordship, ownership, mastership, and kingship with full commitments of our life for his mission, for his words, for his commandments. Please remember, we cannot accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior without accepting him as our personal Lord. That's why the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. you will be saved. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will not see eternal life. Why? Because God's wrath remains on him. Today, still today. Yes, we saw already in chapter 1, verse 2, God is filled with wrath. Then today, God's wrath remains on whom? God's wrath remains on those who reject, Jesus Christ. Shall we see? This is conclusion of today's sermon. Romans, would you open your Bible? Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, 26. Shall we read together? Romans chapter 3, verse 25, 26. Let us read. Ready, go. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This scripture's meaning is like this. Yes, we know the wages of sin is what? Death. No question. The wages of sin is death. This sentence is God's law. Who is holy, righteous, and just. So, God himself cannot break the requirements of the law, because the law is whose law? His law. The law is his law. That's why he does not break the requirements of the law. Then the wages of sin is death. Somebody must die to pay the price of sin, because the wages, the salary of sin is death. Then God is holy, righteous, and just. God does not pardon, God does not forgive sin simply on the ground of sinner's repentance. To receive forgiveness from God, what should we do? We must repent. Bible promise, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just. He will forgive you all your sins and purify, cleanse us from all wickedness. But we must know that God cannot forgive sin or sinners simply on the ground of sinners' repentance. It would be impossible for righteous God to do. God can forgive sin only when the penalty is first paid. So in order that God might be able to forgive sinners and remain as righteous God, holy God, just God, at the same time, Jesus Christ paid the sinners' penalty. This is the message of Romans chapter 3, verse 25, 6. Let me show one more verse so we can conclude like this. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Share it together. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Who is him? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Since we have now been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, how much more shall we be saved from the wrath of our Father God through our Lord Jesus Christ? O Lord God, you are same all the time, not only in the Old Testament time, but also today, New Testament time. Old Testament time, Bible says, God is filled with wrath. And today, even today, your word says, the wrath of God is being revealed, displayed, shown from heaven because of sinfulness and wickedness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth by their, sometimes our wickedness. Father God, we know there's only one way for us to be saved from this coming wrath. That is believing in Jesus Christ, not only as our personal Savior, but also our personal and real Lord. Oh, Lord God, help us, anoint us to recognize your Lordship, your kingship, your mastership, your ownership in our practical life. Father God, help us not to be nominal Christian. Help us not to give you only our lip service to you, but help us to confess Jesus is our Savior and Lord from our deep hearts, from our deep spirit, sincerely, faithfully, honestly, so that our life may be acceptable by you, before you, as living worship, living sacrifice. Help our lifestyle may be worship before you all the time, personal worship, together worship, in private worship, in official worship. All glory back to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in his name, Jesus' name. Amen.